The TSW Roundtable is a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Head to StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world. Ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the TSW Roundtable. I am, once again, your moderator, Robert Cass, and we have an awesome show for you. With me, joining us all the way from New Mexico in the United States, Ash from the Skyhoppers. You want to say hi to everybody, Ash?
Hey, am I once again the only Yankee on this podcast?
Yes.
Because the last time I was on the Roundtable, I was the only American, too. Oh. Wow.
Well, there you go.
Hi, I'm Ash. I'm from the Skyhoppers podcast.
Awesome. And another co-host we have joining us all the way from, well, very west of me, from Alberta. And it's, I think you're, what are you, Airdrie or Calgary?
Right in the heart of Calgary.
Right in the heart of Calgary. Tim from the Nerd Room.
Well, hello there.
Hello, Tim. Welcome back.
That was a little James Arnold Taylor-y there. Just a skosh.
Well, actually, I think it's mandatory. Somebody... On every round table, somebody always answers with, oh, hello there.
Well, definitely.
Yes.
I had that set out that this is what I was going to do if I got the opportunity to do it on the round table.
Of course. I'm sure everybody lays awake at night. What will I say on the round table if I ever get that chance? And joining us once again, one of my favorite people and an awesome musician, Carlos Candido.
Me, Sebastian, what happiness to see you.
Yes.
Okay. Do I want to put down a time code? No, no. I'll let that sit.
Yeah, maybe.
Awesome.
I was gonna come in with the well, hello there, but I wasn't expecting Tim to do it for me, so I had to think on my feet.
See, I'm glad one of you did it, because I can't do Obi-Wan, and nobody wants to hear my Jar Jar impersonation. Actually, you can hear it on what. As today was the most recent episode of Skyhoppers that went out, and it's real bad. Like, it's real, real bad.
Awesome.
How did you get into a Jar Jar impression during Rebels month on the Skyhoppers?
My sister, we went through Rebels. My sister was on that particular episode of the Skyhoppers podcast, and we were talking when we were going through Rebels season one about who Fulcrum was, and I said, it's somebody that you're probably not going to expect. And she went, is it Jar Jar Binks? And that's...
There you
yes,
go.
I remember, yes. It's Mags, right? Is it, or is
Mags,
it,
yeah.
Yes, Maggie. Okay. Sorry, yeah. You were referring to her as Mags the whole show, so... Awesome. So here we are again, another round table, and we're going to go very informally tonight, but we just had a big event we would be remiss if we didn't touch on. But Carlos Candido, you want to talk a little bit about that or get us started?
Yeah, I want to know from your perspectives how Force Friday was on the actual day, and what how's it been since then? Because in my case, it started off very slowly, but things have been ramping up with the new release of some toys. So go ahead.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'll throw it off to New Mexico first. Ash, did you do anything special for Force Friday, or did you pick anything up?
I did. Yeah, I haven't done Force Friday before. So this year was my first like going to a midnight release thing for Force Friday, and it was a lot of fun. I really only went at midnight because I wanted one figure, which was the Black Series 6-inch Hera, because that's like one of my favorite Star Wars characters. And I knew if I waited, I wasn't going to get it without paying an obscene amount of money. So I went with my sister. We did the midnight release. We started talking to a guy who collected Funko Pops. And it was a really good time. And I got Black Series Hera, Black Series Thrawn, which were the two things I wanted, and a couple other various things. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I am definitely going to be doing it again.
Awesome.
I just kind of recently got into collecting stuff. It was not something I had really ever done before, but when I went to Star Wars Celebration, I picked up some old like Power of the Force figures, and it just ignited this obsession, right. I guess. I guess that's how it always starts, right?
and am I correct in assuming, if I'm told right, is that Hera, was that a limited, like per box, like the one per shipment or a couple per shipment? Tim, you're nodding.
It was a one per case.
One per case?
Yeah, that's why you're going to see two of the Vaders and the Stormtroopers kicking around, because they're two per case.
Oh, okay. So I guess, Ash, when you went, because you were there at midnight, they had the full, how many they had in there, so.
There were three Heras in there.
Oh,
and
wow.
I picked up two of them because my sister wanted one.
Right.
So yeah, there was like two Thrawns and two Heras at the particular Target I was shopping at. So I was, and I was the first one in line as well, because we got there stupid early. Cause
awesome.
Yeah. We didn't have anything better to do, to be completely honest. But so I went in there, picked up those two figures immediately, or the three figures immediately, and then kind of did the rest of my shopping. But there was a guy there who was literally going around and looking in everybody's carts. So I like hid my Black Series under this giant plush Porg that my sister got.
Yeah, I think if somebody would have saw you had two of them and they're like, hey, that's a limited run. Oh, come on. You got to get both. Like,
I mean, it wasn't for me. So I feel like I didn't buy two of them for myself. But,
right.
Well, you're not scalping. So that's the big thing people are looking out for.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Tim, Force Friday, do I need to clear some digital space? Do I have a terabyte?
Probably.
I have about a terabyte left. So we'll try to squeeze in what you did for Force Friday and we'll...
Well, my experiences this year were a little bit different than they have been in the past. As Rob has alluded to there, I'm a massive Star Wars collector, and my collection is very broad. I do Funko, Black Series, 5POA, 3¾-inch, everything. The Disney Elite Series. I even go back and do vintage stuff as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's I got a big room here that's kind of half full of just everything. But this year, I was actually out of town. And myself and my co-host over here on the Nerd Room, Troy, we usually do the midnight thing. And we did it for the Force Awakens. Last year, we tried to do it with Rogue One, but because they didn't ship any 6-inch to the Toys R Us, it was kind of a bust, so we bailed on that. And this year, I didn't have that same anxiety going into it to do the midnight thing. One, because I wasn't in town. And two, because I just so happened to be one of those people that got the entire first wave of the Last Jedi 6-inch Black Series a week before Force Friday.
Oh, wow.
One of our other co-hosts here, Sanjay, was wandering around a Walmart, and we were kind of giving him a hard time because he's not a big Star Wars guy, not a big Star Wars collector.
Right.
But he's wandering around a Walmart, and he sent us a picture of – it was Thrawn, Luke, and the Vader from that wave. And he said, do you guys want these? And we thought he was messing around with us because we were like, oh, we got to get midnight. We're trying to get him to go in lieu of me so he could pick me up some stuff. And then – he's like, no, they're all here. So he ended up getting both, like, the two cases that were in that Walmart for Troy and I. So we got, like, the Hera, the Thrawn, everyone, a week before they were supposed to drop.
Was that just a stock – someone, some stock person that just – whoopsed?
Someone screwed up because every other Walmart in Calgary, there's been absolutely no Black Series, nothing.
Right.
I have not seen anything swinging from the pegs. But in that one Walmart, for whatever reason, they had put the stock out early.
Oh, wow.
So we really benefited from that. And the fact that we didn't have to agonize over, are we going to get the Hera? Are we going to get the Thrawn? What are we going to do? How are we going to sort all this out?
Yeah.
So that's our Force Friday kind of started a week in advance with getting that wave.
Well, yeah. And then there's your anxiety. It's gone. Like, it's like, oh, I got everything I need, especially for a collector. Now it's, I don't collect the new stuff. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. Today, I just shared pictures with you guys. I went and picked out a bunch of the Force of Destiny characters for my daughter. Granted, my daughter's only 8 months old, the one that I bought them for. So it's good. They're going to be on her shelf in the nursery before she actually gets a chance to play with them. But I don't, like I said, I don't collect that new stuff. So for me, I don't have that anxiety of, oh, if I don't get that Hera, and for me, part of the reason is I'm a huge completionist. That's why I've yet to pick up a Funko Pop because I can't. I'm an adult with an adult salary, and I can't pull that string, or there goes my house and my cars and my. You know what I mean? It's just, I just know me. I know it's like, oh, I can't try that. I just know. I know myself too well.
I don't know if you guys remember. There was a question that I sent to the After Dark side. Asking about what Funko Pops were. I had no idea what they were. And then it made for quite a funny question. And what I do now is, because they're quite expensive, and like Rob, I'm a completionist, especially for stuff that stays in a box.
Right.
And so I've been picking up stuff from the dollar store. So I got like the Napoleon Dynamite Pedro figure, which was like really... obscure. You know, I like the obscure ones. And we have Harvey Bullock also from Gotham.
Nice.
But I don't see myself going out of my way to get all the Star Wars stuff because it's just, I mean, it becomes ridiculous at a certain point. There's not enough money.
And with the new stuff, it becomes like another completionist. Like, there's no way I can get it all. So it's almost like I just resign myself not to. Ash, were you?
That's really what my problem with Funko Pops is, because I wasn't collecting them this time last year.
Right.
I got a bunch of them as gifts. Because for my birthday and Christmas and stuff, my family knows I like Star Wars and my friends know I like Star Wars. So hey, I'll get you a Funko Pop.
Right.
So I just accumulated this collection, and then I got Hera, Kanan, and Ezra from the Rebels set, and was like, well, of course I need the rest of them.
Yeah.
I can't. And then it's become a real problem, and now I have a Smuggler's Bounty box and stuff, which, if you don't know, is the bi-monthly subscription box for Funko, and you get a couple different cool little pops and things. So yeah, it's become a real problem. And then I started getting into Black Series as well, and that's also I have to stop myself from trying to buy all of them.
Oh, I know what you mean. I got the original 12 behind you, but the listeners can't, but you guys can see behind me in my bookshelf of the vintage figures from New Hope. But I got Yoda and Bespin Luke staring at me from Empire, and they're where's the rest of the Empire crew? We're just sitting here waiting. Just go on eBay. It's just few clicks, and they're like, no.
Didn't you get one of those at Celebration?
I did. Bespin, so Empire came out when I was seven or eight, so that one, Empire, it really, I saw New Hope in the theater, and I had all the first run, and I was a kid playing with them, but when you're a kid and you really start, that's the first movie I actually anticipated coming out, and I went to the theater and saw it, and it was a big build-up, and I loved Bespin Luke, and I had that as a kid. Actually, the one I had as a kid, when I opened it, it had two lightsabers in the package. Now,
really?
Yeah, exactly. Of course, in hindsight, if I would have known, if I can go hop in my DeLorean and go, kid, don't open that package, that's going to be worth a lot of money soon, because it was an obvious error. Where it was had two yellow lightsabers. Anyway, so yeah, I did get that Luke Bespin down at Celebration because it was just one of those. That's a more sentimental buy, but I was gifted the Yoda. But still, they're still going, where's Hoth Han? And where's, you mean? It's just.
I did the same thing at Celebration because my first Star Wars action figure was actually Dengar.
Okay.
Power of the Force Dengar. And I saw one at Celebration, and I just impulsively was like, I have to buy this. The reason I got Dengar first is because my friend was gifted it, my best friend growing up. And he was like, you can have this one to play with.
Dengar.
So he's like, take Dengar. So I have an irrational attachment to Dengar because of that.
But. Well, didn't you and Ben also buy your mascot down at the...
We did. Yeah, we bought I tricked Ben into buying Reese, or more like coerced him into buying Reese.
Yes.
But Reese is on my desk. Yeah, I love that. And
Reese just drives Ben crazy because it comes with a camera, and it has three lenses on the camera, and matched three eyes, and he's like, even people, we have two eyes, and our cameras only have one lens. Why does he have three? And he's just losing his mind.
He was so mad. We also found a Reese gentle giant statue with interchangeable hands. And he's like, why does it have interchangeable hands?
Makes no sense. Awesome. Okay. Well, to get back on track with this Force Friday thing here, Carlos, Lego, is that your thing, or along with the Funkos, or is it?
No, it's definitely Lego is my thing. And my sons love it. I have three boys, and JR's Toy TV is with my youngest. And we have fun building sets, and there's no way to really be a completionist when it comes to Lego, because if you're a collector, you try to keep stuff in the box, and that just doesn't work with Lego.
Right.
And so I went on a toy run today, and I got a couple of new set from the last Jedi, including the transport pod with Rose, Finn, and BB-8.
Oh, wow.
And I actually went out and got the, not the full size, but the large BB-8, the one that Rob Wade won on Force Friday,
yep.
the raffle. Yeah, I needed that thing. So, yeah, it's a lot easier to do Lego than it is to, let's say, 6-inch or the 3¾. Well, 3¾ are not that expensive, but I mean, there are a lot of figures if you want to complete a set.
Yep.
So, you know, it gets pricey, and I have kids in the age where they want to play and not look at stuff.
Of course.
You know, might as well just get, you know, stuff that we can actually play with.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have to have it. And also, too, Lego is one of those things when you're, I know I got, you know, I got a 14-year-old and I got a baby now, but when my oldest was younger, I used to love Legos with her because you can, it's something that can occupy the mind and occupy the kids. And, but Tim, didn't you post a picture? Didn't you see the new Falcon up close today? Man.
So I went out and did a bit of a toy run today, and I went to the Lego store, and they had that full scale 7,142 piece Millennium Falcon. They had it out built. It was enormous. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Carlos is just throwing off his Lego bag there.
it's so incredibly big. It was beyond what I could even kind of in my head put together. Yeah. It is, and it's so expensive. It's way out of like any price range that I would ever consider.
Okay, but we can. It so is. What is it, Canadian?
It's a. I think they said $889 Canadian.
So
maybe close, maybe just over 900. Yeah.
After all after our, taxes, our Canadian taxes, it'd be like almost a grand, probably.
Yeah, you're pushing close to $1,000, but for something, if it's like a one time build for you, like I think this thing's going to take probably 15+ hours to build.
Yeah.
And if it's a one time build, if you don't collect anything else, this is something that you could seriously consider, because the way they had it propped up, they didn't have it laying flat. They kind of had it up on its side, and it looked absolutely gorgeous. The detail is impeccable. Like, I built the Millennium Falcon from The Force Awakens a couple years ago.
Okay.
The smaller set, and it's awesome too, but it pales in comparison to this thing. Like, I've never seen something that looks so good in Lego form.
Yeah, I was at the Lego store today also, and they had the, like you were saying, they had it in our store. They had it in a glass case, kind of tilted just a little bit, and you could see the the details of that thing are incredible. And I mean, it's a big, I mean, I've got big arms, and I couldn't wrap my arms around it for how large it was,
right?
And like Tim, I mean, it's something that it's more of a dream, and you know, like I don't see myself buying it. And if I did buy it, it comes in that collector's box. Like, I'd buy two. I'd rather buy two, keep one closed, and then build the other one. For how beautiful it is, it really is something. But I mean, yeah, it's not unless Lego wants to sponsor me and make me pay me to do a video.
You're gonna do a Lego album.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I already know that. I mean, our channel that we just started it, I'm going to have to do playlists just the Lego, and because Lego is going to take up a large part of that channel, because we love it so much. So.
Well, it all depends. If anybody buys it, I know Ash, you can attest to this. Like, I'm in the Astromech Club. I'm building an R2-D2, and I'm into it over a grand. Guaranteed. So
I'm not quite there with Chopper, but I'm getting
well.
I'm getting
but
close.
But we both have 3D printers. We both like it's their investments, and like I'm not a collector of the. I didn't run out on Force Friday. I bought my kids a few things. I have most of the vintage stuff, and that's fine with me. So I knew it's like, okay, I'm not going to be chasing after these Black Series or these or the 40th anniversaries. Like I got one 40th anniversary for myself, and it's an R2, and it's literally. Out of the package, I know.
What are you doing?
I know. See, but that's
does it make you irrationally angry when people take stuff out of the package? Because I take all of my Black Series out of the package.
Yeah,
I'm of the it's each their own for their collection. But the 40th anniversary, Rob, they're meant to be in box.
I was going to say my 40th anniversary R5-D4 that I went to 5 different stores trying to find. That's in the package.
Yes,
I saw a whole stack of these deep on the shelves today at EB Games up here. They're still swinging.
I know.
It took me so long. So me and Ben, my co-host, have a running joke that we're the 2-1B and R5-D4 of Star Wars podcast. We're like the second rate R2-D2. So he said, I'm R5. There you go.
Yes.
He said, I'm R5-D4. And he's like, I'm 2-1B. So I went to like 5 different stores trying to find this R5-D4. And I went 45 minutes out of my way and I found one.
Well, that's what's more to my point. Being an astromech builder, that's why I got this R2. That's literally sitting. I got the R5 here, and actually, I got an R5 behind me. If anybody needs an R5 that's still in the package, I do have one. So get a it. Tweet me, Robert MMcast. I'll get it to you. But Corey from Tumbling Saber, I told him. I said, yeah, I took my R2 out of the package. He's like, well, that's okay. I'm sure you can get another one. I'm like, no, I don't want. I just want him on my desk. It's like I'm 43 years old. I don't need him.
I mean, I do take my 6-inch Black Series out of the package, but my 3 3/4-inch stuff, my old Power of the Force stuff, my prequel era stuff. I mostly do like the Revenge of the Sith stuff. That's all in the package because I think it just looks cooler in the package, to be perfectly honest, and it's like easier to display that way.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say. And my point was like with being an astromech builder, like that's my one collecting thing. So every time I go out and buy a little part that costs me $100, I'm not running out to buy to finish my Black Series or to finish this Lego set or to finish, you know. So that's how I rationalize it in my head. I know it doesn't make any financial sense, but still, I live with it and I can sleep at night. So, but
that's all that matters.
Yes.
On my side, I'm not a collector, like I said, of those 3 3/4. But I was at the Toys R Us on Friday,
right?
And I saw there were two figures where the box was already creased on the shelf,
right?
So I'm like, okay, nobody's going to buy that to collect it. And I mean, so I picked up the pole.
Yeah.
With the jumpsuit and the helmet. And that was pretty cool. And I had no qualms at all going home and just ripping that thing open because it was busted. No collector ever would have bought that pack, you know?
No action. Yeah. Nobody's going to touch it. But I
tried to see if they were going to like give it to me with a discount, but they don't care about that stuff.
Yeah,
I picked up hard to find figures, and because the box is all dented up, I've put them back on the shelf and said, you know what? I have to wait until I get something that's mint on card.
I'm like forever, well, and by extension, Ben is forever indebted to Mark because I remember they were like, you could get two.
Yes.
And Mark gave me like a ticket and was like, hey, you can buy one. So I bought an X-Wing Luke for Ben.
Yeah. And
I was like, thanks, man.
Well, I'm the same way with Rob here. He hooked me up with the X-Wing Luke. Well, I would have never, ever, ever gotten that figure. Ever.
Oh, and let me just jump the story behind. We were at Celebration, and we got there early, and we're thinking we're going to get it. Maybe we're going to try to get into the Last Jedi panel. Of course, Mark and I are mid-40s. There's no way we're sleeping overnight, and there's no way we were getting in. So we looked around like, oh, what's that lineup for? Oh, it's the Hasbro line. And like I just explained, I'm not a new collector. It's like, well, we might as well. So I got into the line and we got the tickets and then we lined up and they're like, oh, I bought myself that one R2 I just showed you. And oh, you're allowed two X-Wings. I'm like, oh, I said, wait a second. Tim was asking me about this thing. And Tim, you mentioned it. If you happen to get one, pick one up for him. I'm like, yeah, no problem. But I'm thinking, oh, if there's a line. And then I'm like, oh, there it is. I'm like, okay. So I just picked it up. Okay. I'll have two X-Wing Lukes, please. Grabbed one. And then we raffled the other one off and it's like, oh, here you go. And it's like, and for me, I know it's an exclusive, it doesn't mean anything, but if to a collector, obviously, hey, my pleasure. Like, it's there you go.
And then I walked past you guys, I remember that, and some guy was like, hey, can you stand in line for my wife? And that's how I got one.
Yeah.
So
there we are. Just we had like,
I didn't even have to wait in line.
No, yeah, we had like 5 or 6 X-Wing Lukes. I'm like, oh, what are we gonna do with these?
Wow, it completed my collection. Like I got the whole like everything from that 40th anniversary, and that was like the big piece that I thought I'm never gonna get my hands on this because I'm not gonna go and pay $200-$400 for this thing. Like I draw the line at certain things. I'm like, this, it's just not worth it.
No,
and I'm you guys talk about being completists and all that, and I would consider myself a semi completist, but I've gotten over the last couple of years okay with not having the full collection of everything. Not having all the Funko Pops, because like, you can't financially do it. And because I collect so many different things,
right.
I pick and choose from most lines except for the Black Series.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And hey, it's our pleasure. Like we happened to be there and it's like one of those, we were lucky enough to be at Celebrations. So we're like, hey, and we just happened, we literally fell into these X-Wing Lukes. And it was one of those, oh, I know a guy that's collecting this. And I'm sure it's like anything else. It's like, oh, Rob's been looking for this part for his astromech, and you happen to be walking through a flea market going, oh, there it is. Well, I'll grab it. Like, it's just, and that's, I think that's part of the Commonwealth too. Like, we're all kind of, everybody's getting to know each other more, and we all know what each other's kind of collecting. So if I see something on a peg going, oh, I might grab that. That's why I got an extra R5 here, because I'm like, oh, I know there's going to be somebody looking for that. So I just instinctively just picked it up. So,
yeah. That's just like on the TSW Toy Box Facebook page is everyone's constantly throwing stuff around being like, I'm here. There's something stacked deep on the shelves. Is anyone looking for this? I'm going out. What's people looking for? And that's what I love about it. It's just, it makes life a little bit easier. It's helping people from all over the planet.
Yes.
To some degree.
Exactly.
Pretty finding collectibles.
Awesome. So, about just to wrap that Lego thing up. I know we're going to backtrack a bit, but the Millennium Falcon, as an astromech builder, I can see if I wasn't an astromech builder, I'm like, that's something I might have considered going, you know what, I don't collect much, that's something I could probably do. Like, of course, it's completely fiscally irresponsible. Like, there's no, like...
Hey, man.
Yeah.
You know what?
You only live once.
The way I look at it, like, I get a lot of crap from my family and friends about the Star Wars purchases, and I make a lot of, like, replica props and stuff like that,
right.
And that stuff isn't cheap. So I get a lot of crap, but I'm like, I'm making money. It's my money. I don't, like, whether it's fiscally irresponsible or not, I'm in a place right now where I can do stuff like that, so.
Oh, yeah, believe me, I'm from a northern town in northern Ontario, and there's a lot more people that drop a lot of money, a lot more stupid things on their weekends, and so, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the one thing about collecting that sometimes people forget is that it is a hobby.
Yeah.
Right? You're not out, like some people, whatever, up in Northern Ontario, snowmobile or whatever, spending thousands of dollars on whatever.
Yeah.
And people forget, like when people walk in here, they're like, whoa, the first thing they think of when they come into my nerd room is you've spent a lot of money. But I've been doing this for half of my life also.
Yeah.
And
hey, if I was to take all the money that I spent irresponsibly on booze, I'd be living in a different house.
Well, Carlos, I know I used to play music on the road about 20 years ago. And as a former road musician, I can honestly attest. Yeah, you don't believe me.
I collect gear like right next to my desk right here. I have a PV Delta Blues 15-inch speaker. I got a Black Star. I have right now 4 acoustics out.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, there's so many things, you know. I'm on an iMac.
Yes.
There's money that you have to spend, you know, for certain things. But then there's, like Tim was saying, you got to draw the line somewhere.
Well,
and if it's $400 to get an X-Wing, I mean, I understand that, like not taking that plunge.
Yeah.
But isn't it a great feeling to know that it is complete now, though?
Like, nothing like that feeling.
Well, exactly. Also, too, Tim, you were saying people walk into your nerd room and see your collection, and they probably drove up in a Ford F-150 that they don't need for work because they go to the office, and they got a $1,000 payment a month. It's like, well, am I wasting money? Well, no. Like, spend if it's your money and you're not, you mean your kids aren't starving? Hey, man, right on. Spend.
Well, it makes me happy, right? This is the stuff that I enjoy doing.
That's the way I look at it too. And like right now in my current situation, I'm not married, I don't have kids, so I don't have to spend money on anybody except myself. So I'm in a might as well like enjoy it while it lasts.
That just becomes a hurdle. You just have to ask permission.
I don't know. I heard an episode of the Nerd Room, and you were telling Troy it's easier to ask for forgiveness.
Well, that's true too.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
It's very true. It's most times. It's just when you get up in that upper echelon of pricing. It's like, didn't you buy a whole wave of Black Series and now you've got another whole? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I don't. It's okay. We'll figure this out later.
Yeah. Well, that's
past,
like
past the tenth guitar. It's better to say I'm sorry than
ask.
Yeah. That was
my whole first conversation. Is just it's ludicrous.
that's like a running gag with me and my friends. It's like I'll be the wife that's like cool with my husband, my hypothetical future husband, bringing home a bunch of Star Wars stuff.
Yep, absolutely. well, that's just my wife was on a conference call this morning, and I took the baby out to Walmart, and I came home with all those Force Destiny figures, and I think I'm too shy from having all of them. I'm like, I look at her, I'm like, well, you left me alone with the baby. I don't know what you want.
Same thing I used to do.
That's your fault. Like, you knew. Like, so.
Well, one thing, do not get me wrong. My wife is a massive supporter of my collecting. She is responsible for a good chunk of the more expensive bits in this room,
right?
Including, this isn't Star Wars, but including an Avengers number one from 1963.
Yes. Wasn't that your, that was her wedding day gift to you, right?
If I remember correctly. Yeah, she gave that on me on her wedding day. Yeah.
There you go. So
that's when you know she's the one.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
And the big, huge poster behind me here, can't see it in podcast world, but I got a big, huge bus poster from Return of the Jedi from 1983 behind me. And she bought me that as well.
Fantastic.
And it seems like they have the wrong lightsaber color for Luke's lightsaber there.
They do indeed. It is blue.
That's outstanding. Okay, so safe to say Force Friday, success. Everybody got what they wanted and or close to finishing whatever they need to pick up. And we hope everybody is doing the same. And remember, Christmas is right around the corner. So, you know the ones that are easy to pick up, but and they're just, you know, they're going to be swinging from the pegs. Just put them on your list. Just, they're stocking stuffers, you know, like, let somebody else help out. Yeah.
Before we get off this topic, I got one quick PSA.
Okay.
For everyone that's out there, that is the one thing that drives me nuts is people that are scalpers are one thing, and people that get in there and panic over things and turn to eBay or wherever to buy their figures and that. Everything that dropped is going to come back in some form or another.
Yeah.
Don't go out, because like right now people are freaking out about the Luke Skywalker 5 POA 3¾-inch. It's $8 at Toys R Us, and it's going for upwards of $30-$40 on eBay right now.
Wow. Is it really that rare?
Well, it's not. It's rare now because the first shipments have gone out. It's not going to be rare. It's going to be easy to find in a little bit. Those 5 POA, just sit on them. And things like the Disney Store Elite Series too, just sit on them. They're going to be discounted. Like, everything eventually will come around. And I always try to promote this. Is like, when you're collecting, don't get so carried away that you're going to eBay, you're going to these places, unless you can buy things close to retail. If it's a buck or two over, whatever. But people just have to calm down, take a breath. It's like, it's okay that you're not getting the stuff right away.
Yeah, and also too, I know on the on your show, Tim, the Nerd Room, you and Troy, you guys are pretty good at speculating. It's almost like watching the stock market going, don't jump on this one. This one's going to be there for a little while. This one might go early. You may hop on that one if you get a chance. So it's really helpful to any collectors out there.
Yeah, we try to dissect things like case ratios for when they're being shipped,
right,
and popularity of figures and repacks and all this type of thing, just to try to kind of get out in the front. Because the other thing that we don't love doing either is, Force Friday is an exception, but when a wave drops, it's nice to go out and maybe buy the two hardest ones that are maybe going to come a bit more rare, and then pick the other ones up slowly, so you're not kind of like putting so much leverage into your wallet all at once. It's just something like, okay, this is I can pick one up, you know, once a week, $30 here, $30 there type thing.
Yep.
And so having that, the ability to kind of foresee what might be popular or hard to get, that's kind of what we try to do a bit.
Yeah, and again, just to like put a button on it, like with any collecting at all, it's like I said, as long as your family's not starving, as long as you're paying the bills and you're being responsible, and some people drop, you know, $50 a week on a poker table. Some people, like, I mean, whatever you want to do, and you're not hurting anybody. Fantastic. Like, you mean indulge, and we're living in an age now where it's not uncommon to see grown men walking in saying, "Oh, I need that Hera." You know what I mean? Like,
because Hera's the best Star Wars character ever.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
One of the best. Okay, well, she's like second to Han Solo. But
okay,
still.
Okay,
I think that's a little bit more realistic. Oh my gosh, I don't want to. I'm just
okay.
Gonna get
well, you know what? That's where I'm going to transfer over right now. I just wanted to bring something to the roundtable. The new season Rebels coming up. I know, Ash, you guys do a lot of coverage on the Rebels. You just did a commentary on episode one, right? Season one?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We'd never done anything like that before, so that was pretty interesting to do.
And Tim, you guys do, I know during the season you guys do a quick recap.
Yeah, we usually do on Monday nights. We throw up a half an hour, 20-minute after show.
Nice.
We just kind of come right off the end of watching it and just burn through and kind of throw some theories and stuff like that out about what we've seen in the episode.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I was the man on the ground, per se, on the at Fan Expo, and I was able to sit in on the Rebels panel with Dave Filoni, and I was watching that, and they had they showed the new trailer, which everybody has seen by now, and they also had that clip of the X-Wing attack against the Empire. And that was something they just kind of, oh, here's a clip from a future episode, and you saw all the Rebels crew in X-Wings, which was amazing.
Oh, man. It was, man.
So
there, and I feel the need to point out the clip they showed with Kanan and Hera, just because they're the best.
Yes, yeah, they had
Somebody just sent me a link to that and said, you're going to like this. This is before I'd seen the entire panel. And I watched it. And if you watch the video that they took from Fan Expo, there's a person in the background going, no!
That's exactly it. Now, I should explain. Okay, we're there. We are in the room. And Dave Filoni's like, oh, look at this clip. And, of course, Vanessa Marshall was on stage. And also Taylor, what's his last name? The guy that plays Ezra?
Gray.
Yes. Yeah, so the three of them are on stage, and then, oh, here's a clip, and they show Kanan and Hera, and they're having a little banter. What about us? What about after the rebellion? What about this? And then they both close in on each other, and they're going to kiss, and then all of a sudden somebody runs by and just interrupts, kind of, you mean, like C-3PO style. So they never consummated the kiss, if that makes any sense. It never the completion was not had. So of course everybody in the panel was just like, oh, what's going on? And but they the other thing they treated us to, I know, Ash, when you were at Celebration, you saw episode 1 of season 4.
We saw episode 1 and maybe episode 2. I can't exactly remember what all we saw there.
What Dave said, Dave Filoni, we're at the panel, he goes, I showed everybody at Celebration episode 1 part 1 of episode 1, and but we didn't have a part 2 done, so we're going to show you that. So we saw episode 1, what you saw, Ash, and then I know at the ending there was some question of survival on some people. Okay, we're not going to give it away.
No, I'm remembering this. I haven't really thought about it since Celebration, just because I've been trying to avoid spoilers and things like that, but I'm remembering it as well.
Okay, so you remember the episodes? Well, we picked up from there and we saw what happened and we saw how it happened and why it happened.
I'm incredibly jealous of you.
And also the fate of the Black Saber. So, it's the first two. I'm gonna leave it all right there. I'm not saying anything more because it's awesome.
So not to give anything away, I haven't seen them. But right. I'm assuming the first few episodes wrap out the Mandalore arc.
Yes.
If you can say that, yeah.
I'll answer any question you want to ask. I just don't want to throw anything out and have you be...
No, they may pick up later in the season, but it's... I'm just curious about that because that's the way I kind of envisioned it happening.
Yes. Carlos, I assume, are you into Rebels at all, or have you picked up on any of it?
You know what? I've watched a few episodes here and there when...
Right.
My service provider gives Disney XD on free preview.
Right.
I don't subscribe to Disney XD as of this moment. I just happened to watch, I think it was the season 2 finale with Ahsoka versus Vader. And it was incredible. And I did sneak Obi-Wan versus Maul on YouTube.
Yes.
I think it was... What was Twin Sons? Twin Sons, the episode? Yeah, so I caught that. And I've caught a few episodes here and there, nothing in sequential order. I enjoy it. I'm not going to go out of my way. When the series comes out on DVD, I'll pick it up, or I'll just get it on iTunes.
Well, you know what?
I'll binge it. So.
You're like most people, especially when – I think especially as we're all adults here, and when you hear the – Disney moniker in front of it, it's like Disney
mostly,
animation.
Mostly adults.
Yeah. Well,
hey.
Okay, so no, I think he was talking about himself.
I'm talking about myself.
Yeah. I thought you were referring to me, but no.
I think you're more mature than I am, but that's a different story.
So yeah, but I get this list from a lot of people. It's like they love Star Wars. There's guys at work that know I do the Star Wars stuff on the side, and they're like, yeah, they love Star Wars, and they wait for me. It's like, oh, did you I'll walk in and be like, yeah, you guys have to watch last night's episode, whether it be Twin Sons or the season 2 finale or something.
Well,
and they pick up...
especially... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. No, they just pick up the highlights of the season, and that's fine, too. And here's the can't-miss shows. If you're going to watch anything else, you don't have to, but there's another hole you can fall in later.
I mean, I genuinely feel... I mean, I love Rebels a lot. I was thinking the other day, I actually mentioned this on the show, that I think I'm more excited for season 4 of Rebels than I am for The Last Jedi.
Yes, that's going around, yeah.
I love Rebels. I've fallen in love with the characters, and I genuinely think it's some of the best Star Wars storytelling we're getting right now. Because it's, and it might just be my bias, because it's the kind of Star Wars that I like a lot. I love the era that it's set in. I love the Mandalorians. I'm a sucker for pilots and Jedi and all that stuff. So it caters to all of my Star Wars sensibilities really well. And I'm in love with the show. I really like it.
It's great. And we're not going to spoil anything for the first couple episodes, but they start, I believe it's October 16th. 16th. Well, 16th. Here in Canada, we get that on the 16th. So, so look forward to that, and it's not going to disappoint. And there's lots of good stuff coming up. We were spoiled to lots of clips. Also, I got a chance to meet Vanessa Marshall, the voice of Hera, and I got a photo with her. Of course, it's obligatory. But we had a quick chat, of course. I was remiss if I didn't talk about podcasting and what we do and the Commonwealth and everything else. They were saying, like, even Dave Filoni, like, he keeps him in the dark. And I know in the season 4 finale, he actually had his own couple guys animate the final scenes, the last scene or two. So only Dave and two other people know how this ends. So it wasn't shipped out to Korea. It wasn't shipped out anywhere to get finished. They did it literally in-house. So even like Vanessa Marshall, she said, I have no idea. Like, nobody knows. Dave's very tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, that's how secret. There's three people that know how this is going to end.
I was talking to Rob earlier about how jealous I was that he met Vanessa Marshall, because she's like one of my personal heroes, actually, because she voiced Jan Ors in Dark Forces 2 and 3.
Right.
And she voices Hera, and she has an incredible back catalog of voiceover work. And like, Rob sent me a picture of the autograph and the picture that he took with Vanessa Marshall. And I was like, oh, good for him. But on the inside, I was like, oh man, I'm so jealous. But then I found out, I'm going to Salt Lake City Comic Con, and I found out that Vanessa Marshall is going to be there the day after all that happened. So it was like the universe was like, here you go.
Here you go, Ash. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and she's really cool. And again, I was reminding Ash that, like, you know, because you get the autograph and you get the picture with her and everything else, and then at the table, you don't have to go behind in their little booths that they do. But also, they said, oh, if you want a voice message, I'm like, why would I want that? Who has an answering machine? And then it dawned on me, I'm like, why did I get her to do a PSA for, like, hey, this is Vanessa Marshall listening to the roundtable. So please, Ash, make sure you have your phone at the ready and get her to do a Skyhopper's bumper for you or something.
I would have never thought of that, but
that's awesome.
Thanks.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you can actually have Hera. Well, hopefully. But we'll see. You'll let us know. We'll keep a surprise. So, yeah, everybody's looking forward to season 4 of Rebels. It's going to be awesome. And from everything we're hearing, it's going to be great. And I know it's weird. Like, between the four of us, we probably have a combined age of, what, 180, 170 or something. And we're talking about a Disney XD. But this is, it's just more Star Wars canon.
I think I'm right there with Ash, though, with this, is that, I guess the key demographic is younger children.
Right.
But at the same time, how they are evolving all this and tying it to the greater trilogies and everything they're doing in there, it's a cartoon, but I think it's also meant for us. Like, the storytelling is incredible. The characters are fantastic. The way they're tying this season in particular, it looks like, into Rogue One. Like, there's so much ties there. And you look at the comics and everything else that they're doing, this is adding the most to canon, I think.
Yes.
Outside of the films themselves. This is adding the most storytelling, the character development, everything. It is beautifully done. And I think everything from the music to the animation to the characters, I absolutely love this show.
Yeah, it's great. And again, Carlos, I know, like, it's the same thing as, if you get a chance, if anybody hasn't seen The Clone Wars, just poke your way through it. I know in Canada we still have it on Netflix. Yeah,
just pop back up.
It's still in the US too.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, like, if you're a Star Wars fan, treat yourself and don't let the animation fool you and just kind of fall into it. And, you know, hey, if you're embarrassed, close the blinds, whatever. Like, and anybody listening, I'm sure, has watched much, much more embarrassing things on their computer than Clone Wars. Or
don't make the same mistake I did, which I completely wrote off the show until the mid-season finale of season 2. Ahsoka and the Inquisitors.
Yeah.
I was like, not for me. And then I watched that episode. And I was like, oh, okay, I need to start watching this show.
Yeah, you missed the build-up. Yeah, you missed the build-up. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So
I did the exact same thing with Rebels.
Yeah.
It was mid-season finale of season two is when I got into it.
Well, that's it. I was started watching it from the get-go, and it was it's a little drag. Do I like this? Do I not? And they kept me on long enough, and like I said, and then when they – at the season – end of season one, when they're like – Vader's like, oh, apprentice. It's like, oh, my – and then instantly tweeting everybody, who's not watching this? Watch it now. Get caught up. So
– Well, when they introduced Ahsoka, I was like, oh, I am on board. And then I found out she was in like two episodes, and I was like, I am not going to watch a show just for Ahsoka. But then I watched the show pretty much because Ahsoka was in it. I'm a big Ahsoka Tano fan. Dave Filoni making those awesome Star Wars ladies that I love so much.
Yep. Star Wars is in great hands with Dave Filoni. So speaking of Star Wars being in good hands, I have a question from our Grand Admiral Mark himself over at Talk Star Wars.
And,
yeah, I know. I don't want to rank anybody, but you know,
he's Grand Admiral.
Yeah,
he really is Grand Admiral, though.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're not gonna get any argument from anyone on that one.
See, that's just it. And I'm not like a permanent host anywhere. I don't even have my own show on the network per se. But I'm kind of bouncing in everybody's ears. So I'll take a nice lower rank. I'll sit behind the panel and just push buttons even pull that Death Star lever or whatever. That's cool with me.
You don't mind being a red shirt guy?
Well, yeah, the equivalent of a red shirt. Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm like a lieutenant at best, if we're going with Imperial ranks.
Yeah.
I'm like the bottom, like I just got out of the Imperial Academy.
Well, we also, too, we can rank us all, but we don't have to, more than one person can have the same rank. So like I said, I'd be willing to be, I'll be the guy in the background there. You see me with the mop bucket behind Vader talking to Palpatine there, and you'll see me sweet.
Yeah, yelling at a mouse droid.
Yeah, exactly.
I was about to say mouse droid rolls by.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, from Mark himself from Talk Stores, he wanted to ask this on the roundtable real quick. Again, we're talking about having Star Wars in good hands. What will happen with Episode 9 now that the director has walked?
Who knows?
Colin Trevorrow? I believe his name is?
Yeah, it's Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah.
Look, we don't know. I think they want to wait before they give the reins to Rian Johnson to see just how good Episode 8 is going to be. Because I'm convinced at this point in time right now that they know it's really good. They just don't know how the fans are going to... How the fans are going to freak out on how good it is before they give the reins to Rian Johnson. I think that there was a lot of turmoil with Colin with the Book of Henry and the backlash of Jurassic World or Jurassic whatever 17, and like I honestly feel that we're going in the right direction. Kathleen Kennedy knows. Has her finger on the pulse of what's going on with Star Wars, be it animated, be it what's going on with the toys, what's going on. I mean, she has her finger on the pulse of Lucasfilm, and if she says that guy's got to go, I say that guy's got to go.
Yes.
I have no problem whatsoever with them pulling the plug on Lord and Miller like they did for the Han Solo feature and bringing in Ron Howard, a guy who's going to pretty much just be able to convey the message that they already have on a script the way they see it, the way they know the fans see it. This is not George Lucas anymore.
No.
George, they know exactly how can I say this? George Lucas had a vision. Everybody fell in love with that vision.
Yep.
That vision changed over 16 years. And then they released the prequels where the fans had a different idea.
Yep.
Everybody's evolution of Star Wars changed over that time. So knowing that Kathleen Kennedy and Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo and all these people are involved, be it on the story group or whatever's going on behind the scenes, they have the finger on the pulse of fandom. And that's to me, that just means good things.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I absolutely, and if to people that aren't in the know, the latest director, the director that was tapped to do Episode 9, which is following, that's due out, when was the release date? Was that 19?
May
2019. So do you think, with all this going on, we're getting The Last Jedi in this December, in 17, and Han Solo is also due on May 2018. So do you think, another part of Mark's question, do you think maybe with all this director shuffling going on with Ron Howard taking over Han Solo and maybe the pushback with Episode 9, do you think maybe they're just going to revert Han Solo and Episode 9 to December on release dates? What do you think, Ash?
I kind of hope they do, but it's for totally selfish reasons. It's because it's become like a family tradition when my family comes into town on Christmas to go watch Star Wars. Yep. So I'm a little bit biased there, but I just want to say on Trevorrow or whatever the guy's name is, as a person who actually sat through the Book of Henry out of morbid curiosity, I am so glad he's off this movie.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I heard it was so bad, and I went to a matinee showing of it. Because I was like, I have to know. I have to know. And I was talking about it on the podcast last week. It is the worst movie I've ever seen, I think.
Well, also, as a responsible podcaster, you did your research.
Now
you have an informed opinion.
I have seen so many terrible things recently just so I can have an informed opinion, like the Inhumans IMAX thing.
You're into torturing yourself.
Yeah. Did you watch Happy Days? Did you get the DVD set of Happy Days to see Ron Howard, how his acting was, to see how it's going to compare with the
Opie.
No.
Opie.
No.
Oh, God, no.
But I've seen enough Ron Howard films to know that he's a studio guy and he's gonna do an all right job with it. I think Star Wars is at a point, going off topic a little bit, I just think Star Wars is kind of at a point where I don't think the guys who have like the crazy creative outside the box ideas are going to fit well with the franchise. Because you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar franchise that has to cater to so many different people.
Yeah.
And most importantly, the casual movie going audience, when you start throwing in weird ideas and concepts at them, they're not going to like it. And I think you make films for the broad audience, not necessarily the diehard nerds who might understand crazy symbolism and things like that.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about Lord Miller, I think, and I'm happy about Trevorrow. I don't think they're going to push him back. Because episode 9 is far enough out. Han Solo, maybe. But it seems like things are going along. Like he tweeted a picture of Donald Glover finishing up principal photography the other day.
Yeah. Right.
So I think they're right on track. I think that's why you bring in Ron Howard. He's a guy who knows how to, like, he knows the studio system. He knows how to, like, do stuff fast, quick, and cheap. And I think he's hopefully going to turn out a better product than what originally was. I'm still very concerned about the Han Solo movie, though.
Right.
Not a fan.
So, Tim, what do you think? Dates get pushed back, new directors. What's your opinion on all this?
Well, looking at this from kind of a Marvel perspective, too, I'm a big Marvel fan as well and big into the MCU. I think initially Lucasfilm, when this all started, they were chasing a Marvel model, where they go out and get young, up-and-coming directors that write and direct the film. So they have a lot of control over these films. And from what we've seen over the last, with Josh Trank, Lord Miller, now Trevorrow, we've seen them kind of step back from that and say, look, we're not ready to do a Guardians of the Galaxy-esque movie in this universe.
Right.
They have a very prescribed, if you can call it that, view on how this universe needs to evolve into the next stages, into when we can get to that point where they can do a wild-ass bounty hunter movie or something like that. So I think they're kind of stepping back, and we're going to see a lot of the Ron Howard types, the J.J. Abrams, even Rian Johnson, people that are familiar with the franchise and familiar with the inner workings of Lucasfilm, shepherd the rest of these movies past the finish line. And I think that's what they need. They need someone that can come in and execute a story. They don't need someone to come in and flip things on its head like James Gunn did with Guardians. So I think that they tried really hard to make an MCU type universe in Star Wars, or that at least was the thought of it, that look what they're doing over here, we can take that blueprint and apply it to Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for Star Wars. So this whole idea and this kind of changing of the guard when it comes to directors, I'm okay with. I think that Kathleen Kennedy knows, like exactly what Carlos said, she's got her finger on the pulse. She knows what's going on. I have complete trust in their filmmaking capabilities over there. And so I'm not worried about any of it. I think that this is the time to do it. This is the time to write whatever course they were going down before. They need to swing back and get back on track with their filmmaking. And I don't think, and I'm not worried about Han Solo or Episode 9. I think they've kind of nipped this as early as they can, and probably to the point where they're still going to produce really good films.
Right.
Is it to the point where they're going to have to switch release dates? I'm like Ash a bit. I would prefer that because I like the December slot. I have family traditions the same now too. But also looking at, again, from a Marvel perspective, they're cannibalizing themselves in May with Avengers Infinity War and Avengers 4 in 18 and 19. So they're going to have a couple weeks of Avengers Infinity War busting through the box office, and then Han Solo drops. So you have two of what could arguably be the biggest movies of that summer, mm-hmm. and then the following summer with 9 and Avengers 4, which are two culmination movies too, like the ends of their respective trilogies or stories, all happening all at once. So it never made sense to me that they would do that. So I always thought, shift it around. Mm-hmm. And now that you have this, just gives you a little bit more time, a little bit more reasoning to shift it off into December.
Well, the tradition is great too. Like it's Christmas. It's like almost like adult Christmas. Like right before holidays start, you get this little Star Wars taste and then you're off to the holidays.
I mean, it's become kind of this thing with me and my dad that, I mean, we grew up and he showed me Star Wars and kind of being able to go, cause he only comes into town for like Christmas and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's been like a great little family tradition. We can go and we can watch Star Wars. I mean, he was the guy who took me to like The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, all that stuff when I was growing up. So I don't know. I have like kind of a personal reason for why I want the release date to be in December. Right. But I agree with you, Tim, that I don't understand why they're releasing Han Solo in May, because I'm thinking like family of four, right? Who can go to the movies maybe once, maybe twice a year.
Yep.
They go to an Avengers movie and a Star Wars movie to take their kids or something like that. Or an animated like Pixar thing. What if I'm like, if I'm a parent of two kids, what am I taking my kids to? Han Solo or Avengers? I feel like Avengers is wins that. It's the same thing with like Avatar, I think, is coming out next year, right? Avatar 2? Something like
that. It got pushed back. There's no real date right now, I don't think.
Okay, they're never going to make that.
Well, like you were saying, Tim, too, like, and Ashley, more to your point, like, Disney has complete control over Infinity War and Han Solo. So why not? Like, it's not like you got like, they got to worry about, okay, when's Justice League coming out? When's the next Wonder Woman coming out? They don't have to worry about that.
And nobody cares about Justice League anyway. Like, if you put Star Wars
okay,
in Justice League.
Okay, that's it. Order.
No. That's not what I meant. I meant if you put a Star Wars movie next to a Justice League movie, I feel like more people would go to see Star Wars than Justice League.
Yes, of course, yes.
I don't know. I'm incredibly Marvel biased, so my perception of this is totally skewed.
So is Tim. And believe me, Tim and I have had a Marvel DC thing going on for a bit. So
I like DC. I don't dislike DC.
And I'm a big fan of all the Marvel stuff, too. It's just,
I'm just saying, if you had the choice between watching Justice League, which kind of looks like a hot mess, or The Last Jedi, which one would you pick?
Well, I'm moderating a Star Wars podcast, so yes, I would definitely say Last Jedi. But
I'm just saying,
if I had to say Justice League or Infinity War, I don't know. I might have to wait for another show.
No. Let's just hypothetically do this. Let's just do this.
Okay.
Christopher Nolan comes back and wants to do a Darkwing. Continuing with Joseph Gordon-Levitt,
right?
From that trilogy.
Yep.
Where do you put that on your bucket list of what you want to see? Because I put that ahead of Han Solo. I put that ahead of Infinity War. I put that ahead of any Justice League, anything that Ben Affleck is in.
I do not want to watch that movie because I don't like the Dark Knight trilogy.
You're allowed to be wrong. It's okay. I just wanted to know where you put it.
Let me get on my soapbox on this Star Wars podcast about the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes.
It's not Batman or any of the things I like about Batman. I like Batman because he's the normal guy in the world of crazy with the chick who can control plants and the Riddler and the guy who looks like a penguin and all this stuff and the Joker. That's my Batman. The Dark Knight trilogy
sounds a little bit like Han Solo.
Yeah. Well, you know what though, and this is great because normally, obviously, with all of us being Star Wars podcasters and Star Wars listeners and Star Wars contributors, we're like, oh, this new movie's coming out. What do you think? Two thumbs up. Like it's we rarely disagree when it comes to Star Wars, unless it's the finer points. But we are actually individuals, and we all have other tastes and whatnot when it comes to our other comic, DC, Marvel, and other stuff. So.
The other nice thing actually about the December slot that I was just thinking when you're talking about podcasting and contributing to the greater fandom and all that is that a December time slot puts a nice year-end stamp to our news cycles.
Yes.
And so once we come into January, it's like fresh news cycle on everything. We've kind of got the reviews and all that in the rearview mirror, and we're starting off with something fresh into January of 2018, 19, whatever.
Especially podcasters. We get into the holidays. Everybody finds a Monday where they're not working, and then we have reaction shows over the Christmas break or the holiday break. And then, like you said, everybody takes a week or two off and then comes back, dusts himself off fresh in January. Okay, when's the next one?
Unless you're Skyhoppers, who does it every week.
Yes.
Because we're insane, I guess.
Fresh in January. That's things fresh. I've never, ever heard.
Well, no, not being fresh from, not living in Quebec. No, you don't.
No.
Awesome.
Or Ontario or Alberta. Or,
nah.
Fresh in January is like, no, that's no.
It's fresh outside. It's very crisp.
I live in the mountains too. It's probably not as bad as Canada. I have no
New Mexico is nothing me. Like is nothing.
But I don't live in like the desert part of Canada. I live in like the mountain part of or can I don't live in Canada. I live in New Mexico.
There you go.
Canadian
you're
envy.
First.
I don't
resistance I don't, is futile. She will be assimilated.
I don't live in the desert part of New Mexico. I live in the mountains where it kind of snows, but I imagine it's nowhere near
right.
Canada.
Well, there we go. We just gotta get you saying a boot and a, and you'll be right in there. So awesome. So you know what? I'm gonna put a nice little bow on this and thank everybody for joining us on this edition of the roundtable. So I'm gonna pass it around the horn, and you can tell everybody your Twitters and what you do and all the good stuff you do, Star Wars or otherwise. So I'm gonna pass it off, Carlos. What do you got going on? You got anything you need to plug or stuff?
You can anybody can follow me at C Candy Doe Music on Twitter, and from there, everything you want to know, just follow the links that I post on my Twitter, whether it be the TOL podcast or JR Story TV, and music. If you want to check out my music, you can do so at CarlosCandidoMusic.com.
It's awesome. Pretty simple. Awesome.
Which
okay.
You should.
Yes, yeah, very highly recommend. Tim.
Thanks.
All right, well, you can hear us every Thursday on the Nerd Room podcast. We are proud members of the Commonwealth. We do an after show that's going to be kicking up here for Rebels in October. And you can grab me on Twitter at the NerdRM. And we also just started a website a couple months ago, the nerdroom.net. And it's less about a kind of compiling and doing reactions to news and all that. It's more of amalgamating everything for fandom for Marvel, DC, and Star Wars. And then also adding kind of some supplemental material where we talk a little bit about theories and stuff like that. And Mark from the TSW contributes once in a while. And so we got that as well. And that's kind of where you can grab us. Twitter is our main kind of hub for where we post on our links and all that for that.
Awesome. And Ash?
You can find me at Airsats Ash on Twitter. And I also, I have two podcasts. I have the Skyhoppers podcast and a podcast I just started recently called Nerds Talking Heroes, where we take a superhero from Marvel or DC or Image or whatever. And we kind of take an episode and dissect the character from the perspective of somebody who reads comics, which is me, and my co-host Eva, who does not, who just watches the movies. And then I also have a YouTube channel that I'm kind of working on at the moment. There's a video of me up there raving about my experience watching Marvels and Humans in IMAX, which is interesting.
Yes.
To say the least. But yeah, that's pretty much where you can find me.
Awesome. You can find myself at Robert MMCast on the Twitters, and I also do the TSW Comics with Mark, as we were mentioning earlier, on the Talk Star Wars show. And also, don't forget to check out the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. And it's for me, it's really awesome because I get to do this once a month with all sorts of hosts from around the network. And it's really cool when I'm listening because we'll be on this show, and then I'm like, I'll be listening to the Nerd Room, and I'll hear Tim and Troy and Sanji talking about, oh, Rob was saying this one thing. And I was like, oh, hey, that's me. And one of my highlights this week was when Skyhopper's anniversary show, and Ben did the shout-out because I did that Han Solo, Ben! When we were at Celebration over and over and over again.
He loved that, man.
So it's really cool. Like, it's like, oh, I'm on an hour. There's a little tiny mention on the anniversary show. It's really awesome. But that's just the type of community we have. And it's so cool to be like, oh, this is great. Like, we're all in this together, and it's really awesome to be a part of. So anybody that listens to this show, be sure to check out everybody else on the Commonwealth, because you will not be disappointed. So until next month, we will see you then. Again, thank you, Tim, Carlos, Ash. We'll see you next
time. Thanks for having me.
Later.
See you guys.